Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll stick with us. And we've got a special program planned here. We've got a guest going to be joining us in just a few moments. But I just want to mention again, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there, read some of the articles that I've written that are there. And also, you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. I invite you to join us there tonight for our Bible study, 7 o'clock till 9 this evening. We'd love to have you. And then our regular services there on Sunday. Just check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. You can find out all that information. And one quick praise here real quick as we get started. Thank you for everybody who's been praying about the situation in Richfield with the adult theme takeover of the Quality Inn. We went to the council meeting this past week, and they announced that the owner has agreed to stop that and not do any future ones. So that's a praise right there. Thank you for everybody who's been praying about that. All right, well, we got a special program tonight. We have Dr. Douglas Small, who's founded Prayer at Heart back in 2021, is going to be joining us here on the program today with a project that he is heading up. And Dr. Small, are you there with us?
I am, Pastor. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on with us today. I appreciate that. And you've got an interesting proposition here of trying to get people to pray for this country, don't you?
I sure do.
Well, I guess the first thing I would ask about that is what prompted you to come up with this, and what's your thoughts here?
Well, you know, a number of years ago, I had this real strong sense that that we needed outside United Prayer rallies in the nation, and we started this actually in the middle of the nation in a cow pasture. There's a geographic plot that marks the center of the nation, and all surveys are taken off that stake. And we went not to Washington with thousands of people out in the middle of this cow pasture 4 years ago and cried out to God for 6 hours and said, God, we need the nation to come to you. And our goal was to see this happen in every state. And then I got a call from a mega church in Korea, and they asked, could we send you prayer teams, because we're concerned that if America falls, nobody stops North Korea, nobody stops China, nobody stops Russia, and we don't know that you know how close you are to collapsing. So I've entertained 85 teams from Korea. And then in the process of that, I was in Korea. I actually was meeting with Billy Kim, who translated for Dr. Billy Graham for the crusade in Seoul, Korea years ago. And then in the next day, I was meeting with Nam Soo Choi, who sent these Korean teams, a Presbyterian pastor. And in the middle of the night, Pastor, I had a sleepless night, and I finally crawled out of bed, and I stood in the middle of my dark hotel room, and I said, God, I know this is not insomnia. I know you're trying to say something to me. And as clearly as I've ever heard anything in my life, the Lord said, I want you to mobilize 1 million people to pray for 50 days to see 1 million people saved. I feel like it was God saying, I want to save 1 million people in America in 50 days. Will you mobilize people to pray? That would be twice as many as we're seeing saved now across all denominations in a year. The only way to change the nation is one soul at a time, one heart at a time. That's what the angels rejoice over. It's salvation of souls.
Right.
So it's a great awakening that we're really after here, Pastor.
Well, and it's interesting you use that term, the Great Awakening, because many of our listeners, of course, are familiar. We've had, most people think of the first two Great Awakenings, but really we've had three. And in a sense, would you look at this, if the Lord were to move like this, as being kind of like a successor to them, like a fourth Great Awakening?
I think it's even more critical than that. without the First Great Awakening, without Whitfield, without the ministry of Edwards and others, there would have been no America.
Mm-hmm.
Because the colonies were deeply divided. They were divided as Christians, and the halfway covenant was in place. You had high levels of marriage before pregnancy before marriage. And so what happens is that 80% of the colonists hear Whitfield preach, and as some say, as many as 20% make a recommitment to Christ. We know the number is 12 to 15% conservatively. It changes the nation. It really gives birth to the nation. So what I say is that it took a Great Awakening to give birth to the nation. Now we're 250 years deep, and we're in trouble. And we need only a spiritual awakening can save us.
Well, you know, when you were describing the conditions prior to the First Awakening, I couldn't help but think that that sounds an awful lot like today, doesn't it?
It does.
We
think that the colonialists were wonderful people, but the Pilgrims, that had gone away. The Puritans had lost their influence largely. And the people who were coming to the colonies now were coming to get rich with their plans to go back to Europe. The churches were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Whitfield's message. It's Edwards' message. Wake up. You know, God will judge us if we're not careful here. And that begins to wake up the colonies, and that empowers pastors who become what we now know as the Black Robe Regiment.
Right,
and that was the Third Army, Washington and the English, and that Third Army is the one that turned the tide. And the Election Day sermons that took place, all of this history is lost to us because in the last 60, 70 years we've had this major separation of church and state mantra that has been imposed upon us, so that we've lost all our wonderful founding stories. We know that Jefferson was not a evangelical Christian. We know that these were not, they would not have joined your Bible Baptist church, but these were still men that revered biblical values, and they had looked at the Quran, and they had looked at Islam, and they had looked at other methods and models upon which to found a nation, and they decided. Adam said very, very clearly that this is a Christian nation, and without our Christian moorings, we will cease to be a nation at all.
Oh, absolutely. And as you mentioned, the Black Robe Regiment, it's even reported that King George said that that's who he feared the most, was the Black Robe Regiment, because even he understood that there is a God and he moves in the affairs of men. And that's something that I think a lot of people have lost today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we're saying the way to move America back is not another rally in Washington, not another big thing, but grassroots. Break your silence. Stop being intimidated by, and don't be belligerent, don't be angry, but stop being intimidated into silence by the culture around us that says there's no God and you don't have a right to speak because you're a Christian. And begin with love. And prayer for your unsaved, unchurched friends and family. We're saying pray in the next few weeks. Pray for 10. Look for opportunities to express care. Have coffee. Send a card. Give them a call to at least 5 of those 10, and the Lord will lead you. And then share the gospel with 3, and get 1 into church before Pentecost Sunday. Share the gospel, lead one to Christ, and do this in teams of 3. And here's why we're saying that. 80% of the people who came to a Billy Graham crusade and came to Christ, of the 3.2 million people, 80% of them were on somebody's Operation Andrew list. Somebody was praying for them, and somebody stepped in the middle between God and that lost person and invited them to the crusade, often took them to the crusade. And they became followers of Jesus Christ. And so we're saying, get in the middle in prayer between God and your lost loved one, and God will begin to work in their heart in ways that you're arguing about Christ can't do. And you'll find them open, and you'll find them asking questions. You'll find them drawn to you. Pray for 10, care for 5, share the gospel with 3, and win 1 by Pentecost Sunday.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when you're talking about this and how this came to you and you went there to the middle of the United States, there in Kansas, and it's really kind of interesting. You think about that, you think of the middle as the center, the heart of something, and you know God's word, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We need righteousness in our country, and again, going back to the Great Awakening thought too. We have so many people in this country who have stopped going to church on a regular basis, who have stopped believing the word of the Bible is the word of God, and Barna has given a number of surveys out showing even pastors are declining in the percent of pastors with a Christian worldview. And so what do we see happening with people today? And I know there's some bright spots there, and I think that you've looked at that too, some bright spots with the younger generation. What do you see happening there?
You know, I was in a conversation the other day with a group of people. We were talking about the nation, and one of them used a language that it gave me such hope. He said, we've got a young generation that has really never heard the gospel. You're hearing the stories too. Mm-hmm. Of young millennials or Gen Z that are wandering into churches saying, I've never been inside a church before. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Show me what to do. I mean, there's an upsurge, slight, very slight uptick in church attendance among Gen Z and young millennials that we've never seen before. They're buying Bibles and they're investigating faith. It may well be that we're not post-Christian, but we're pre-Christian. That is, we now have a group of almost a third, almost 33-35% who have no affiliation whatsoever, who may be more open to faith than ever before because they've never, the vacuum in their heart is one that only God can fill that vacuum. And I think if we begin to re-engage this young culture with the God, here's what we've got to do. We can't do evangelism as a one and done thing. We've got to disciple people to the point of evangelism, and then disciple them from the point of evangelism. This is going to be a journey. It's not going to be like I grew up with a one step presentation. Pray this prayer, repeat after me, get wet, and I'll guarantee you a ticket to heaven. It's not going to work that way with this generation. It's going to require a lot more patience, but I believe that there's an openness now. 80% of these young people say, if the right person invited me to go to the church and I felt like they were an authentic Christian, genuine believer, I'd go with them to church. I would explore it. I'm not closed to it. 80%, and yet only 2% of us have broken our silence and shared our faith with anybody in the last 6 months or so.
You know, that's a fantastic figure when you think about it, 80% of the young people. I can remember when the millennials were first coming on the scene and people were saying, oh, church attendance is decreasing and they don't care anything about spiritual matters. It's all materially oriented and entertainment and all of this. And it's almost like we had a generation inoculated against the gospel. And I like how you put it. We're seeing the Gen Z and some of these younger people growing up in an atmosphere where they've had no real experience with the church. In fact, I saw a video just the other day. President Trump was visiting some church, I'm not sure where it was, recently, and they were getting ready to do the offering, and he reached into his pocket, he took out his wallet, and he took some money out. And the guy narrating the video felt the need to explain what he was doing. And I told this to some people at our church. I said, well, why would you have to explain that? But it's because just what you hit it right there. So many of our young people today have no idea what goes on in a church. Most of us would say, well, obviously he was getting ready to put money in the offering when the basket came around. But the person narrating the video felt the need to explain that because he felt that so many people would not have a clue what he was doing. And, you know, this idea of our young people, 80% receptive, that's an open door in my book.
I think so. And it may well be that they're not ready for the bricks and mortar church that we grew up with, but they're certainly open to alternative forms of church, small groups that are exploring faith. They've got a lot of questions they want to ask. They're not going to be a pushover generation. They've got a lot of questions, and they're quick to say to you, "Your truth is not my truth." But you build the bridge of love. You know, the first word of God to humanity was blessing, and the last word of Jesus was blessing. It's fascinating that the crucifixion could not quiet, it could not silence the desire of God to bless mankind. And we have to pull out that blessing language. We have to pull out the language, the positive language of love, because this is what this generation needs so desperately. But we'll never see them change if we do love without truth. And where you get love and truth, that's where you experience the power of the Holy Spirit that brings change to people's lives. And at that intersection of love and truth and power, you begin to see lives change, dramatically change. It's not just these are new ideas I'm going to adopt. It's not just a can-do religion. It's something else working in our heart that's greater than us, that pushes us to know God and understand Him.
You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And in order to preach, somebody's got to be sent, right? And somebody's got to go. And that's what I like about what you're talking about here. We're not talking about people getting up in the pulpit and preaching, but we're talking about people, believers, being a witness to these young people and to others, and sharing our faith with them and praying that God would give us open ears and open hearts.
And I think they're hungry. They're ready to listen. They grew up in the shadow of the falling Twin Towers. They've been shuttled back and forth between two homes. They know what it is to have a mother without a father without a mother, or step parents in between. I mean, this is a fragile, broken generation. They make their friends on social media so they can defriend, unfriend quickly. They're afraid of intimate relationships. What are they hungry for? They're hungry for the thing that only God can give them. And I really believe they're hungry for a father.
Yes, that's a good point.
The radical feminism of a culture that we lived in has pushed away maleness, and it's pushed away, it's made the father of no value. But I think there's something inside of them. They want to pray, Abba, Father. They want to know that there is a father who loves them that transcends the faultiness of all of us who are fathers who are faulty. We know we've failed in some way in raising our kids as noble as we tried to be. But there is a father. There is a father, and there's a father and a son. And we are being invited into that family. And so a part of our push on Pentecost Sunday, which is the last day of the 50 days, is come home. We're going to say across the nation, come home. Come home to a home you've never been to. Come home to a father you've never known. He's waiting for you. He loves you. He cares about you. Come home. And I believe that God wants to invite this nation at the 250th anniversary that's strayed away from Him. I think He's wanting to invite us back home. And if we could have that kind of reunion with God that the founders had, we would wake up the world, because the whole world, Al, is living here. The whole world is in America.
Yeah,
and that's why a revival here would be so much more powerful than a revival anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, for people who are listening and maybe they want to know more what they can do, what kind of resources have you made available?
There's a ton of resources. They're all free. It's at prayeratheheart.org, prayeratheheart.org. Go there, watch the videos. There's one from Ronnie Floyd, Southern Baptist president for a while. There's one from, there's a letter from Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. There's another one from Tom Phillips, who's crusade director for many years. There's a video from me on the site. And then if you click the resources tab, you can get all kind of resources. I would download the 50-day prayer guide. It gives you a day of prayer. Are you praying for every state one day, There's a prayer quote every day. You're praying for an unreached people group in the U.S. every day. And it's just it takes you 5 minutes to read it every day. And you join a million other people praying that same prayer across the nation every day. And there's power in agreement. There's also an evangelism as blessing guide. And there's a long form, a book that you can download, but there's also a one evening version of that. And here's what we're saying there. Start doing God bless you. Start saying, have a blessed day. Start saying, can I pray a prayer of blessing for you? How can I pray for you? And prayer begins to open the door of hearts to make them aware of God's love. There's also a salty guide that can be used at your workplace where you find two other people and you begin to pray that God would help you to be salt and light in that workplace. Once a week, meet for 30 minutes. And there's all these resources are there. There's a connection to the Bless Every Home app where you can sign up there and you can begin to get a map of your neighborhood and pray for your neighbors to come to know Jesus Christ. All kind of tools, free tools, on that site.
You know, I like how you've got some things laid out to help focus people's attention and all that, and a lot of little practical things that you can do that are really not very hard. I liked what you said about, you know, telling people God bless you and have a blessed day. And I know there's been occasions where I've been at, you know, at a store or something, and I've said to the person, you know, ringing up the prices and everything, the cashier, and I'll say, have a blessed day. And oftentimes you'll get a much different reaction than you do than when you just say, well, thank you. Oftentimes you'll get a smile. You'll get I've seen people like physically relax. And I don't know that every time they're actually saved people, but it's just, I think that there's something that strikes a chord that the Spirit of God can use when God's people go out, as you said, be salt and light. And that's just one simple way. And so I like how your resources, you have simple things that people can do, just that easy.
You know, I don't think we realize the power of blessing. And I don't think we feel worthy to bless. And the truth is we're not. But God says to Aaron, if you speak the words, I will do the blessing. So the blessing doesn't come from me. It's a prayer with my eyes open to make someone aware of the fact that there is a God who cares about them and who loves them. And they may go home all day thinking about that. They may think about that through the next three people that they check out in the register. But you've awakened in them. You've knocked on their door in the name of the Lord and awakened into them. And that becomes a witness to them. The life of God in you becomes a witness to them. And the book of Acts says, we are witnesses, but so also is the Holy Spirit. He does the heavy lifting. We've been trying to do the heavy lifting in the witnessing. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting. He works inside their heart when we're outside trying to get their attention. I would just encourage everybody, start using the language of blessing and then double back to these people and tell them, could I hear your God story? Well, I don't have a God story. I don't believe there is a God. That's exactly the story I want to hear. That's exactly the story I want to hear. And then you say to them, could I tell you my God story? Because you see, there was a time that I didn't believe either. You would know. I'm a different person than I was before I met God. He's real. I'm telling you, he's real. Can I tell you his story? And you go through this process and wake up.
Well, and Dr. Small, I was going to say we got less than a minute to go here, and I want to thank you for being on with us today. What is the website again where people can go for more information?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. It's www.prayeratheheart.org.
All right, and certainly we'll be praying. And what a transformation this country would see to see a million people come to Christ here by Pentecost Sunday. And just a million people in the course of the year would be something, that's for sure. But thank you so much. I appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right, God bless, and blessings to you as well. Thank you so much. And I want to thank our listeners for being with us today. God bless. Join us next time. Have a great weekend. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.